We're checking in with the craft brewing community on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Breweries have suffered from having to close tap rooms and tasting rooms. Craft beer producers have been particularly affected as many rely on sales from tasting rooms. Have you tried to go out and support your local brewery? Are they offering curbside pickups? What's your favorite beer for the summer months? Mine is Kelsch. What do you love about your beer? Have you had a hard time finding it? Join in 800-642-1234. Daniel Higgins is the food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Neenah. He's been writing about beer and the industry and the pandemic. Dan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for having me back. It's good to be on.
Well, you've been talking to a number of breweries. What are they telling you as they head into the summer months and their production levels?
I think now that things are opening up again, they're going to ramp up because, especially breweries that distribute outside of their brewery itself, with restaurants and those. Businesses opening up, that's usually about most breweries that don't just sell right in their tap room or depend heavily on their tap room. At least half of their sales usually are in the form of draft beer going out to restaurants and stuff like that. So you're going to start seeing that they're going to start ramping up production again as more and more restaurants and all that open up and as they start thinking about opening up their own tap rooms.
Is it difficult for these small craft brewers to get shelf space at your local grocery store?
I think that to carve your way in, it can be, but not impossible. There's a little brewery in Neenah here, actually, Barrel 41. That was one of those breweries that does just a lot of, over in their tap room. That's kind of a lot of the business they do. They're not widely distributed, but when the shutdown went into place, they took their beer and they had just bought a canner and been doing some canning for a little bit, and they've been able to get into at least a few independent retailers through the Fox Cities and one up in independent liquor stores through the Fox Cities and then up in De Pere. So they still do obviously their curbside pickup, which has been a key to a lot of these breweries that aren't already established with distribution.
Yeah, they've been doing that curbside, with so much equipment that you need for brewing and just that investment in equipment. I'm wondering how these brewers are staying afloat with being able to just keep operations going and keeping cash flow going.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of, Barrel 41, they said they were able to get one of the loans from federal government, the PPP, and then other places. It's just been working with their banks and landlords, like a lot of other small businesses, trying to, buy time to until they can get opening and get the beer flowing through their tap rooms again, especially the small ones like that. Zimbaldi Beer, talk to them. They opened up yesterday, their tap room yesterday. They're up in Zimbaldi Beer's up in Green Bay.
In Green Bay, yeah. But don't they have in Alloway as well? Isn't that right?
Well, Alloway, yeah.
Okay.
I just said Green Bay because I'm not sure how far out of Green Bay people know where Alloway is. Yes, they're actually in Alloway, correct.
How are they doing?
he wanted to talk to David Malcolm, one of the owners, and they met with the staff, talked about it, and he wanted to obviously get open as soon as he could to start, get back to paying, working with their landlords and all that to kind of get
paying
going.
The bills and keeping going, getting that those brews in production. Dan Higgins is here, food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. We're talking about how breweries are making it during the pandemic. And we want to hear from you. Have you tried to go out and support your local brewery? Who do you want to toss a shout out to? Brewers, how has the pandemic affected the work you do and your business? Is curbside pickup enough to keep your business going? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So Dan, Fifth Ward Brewing in Oshkosh has a tap room. Last time you talked to them, the tap room was closed. How are they adapting?
They had talked, about taking advantage of the time to do brewing some lagers, which typically lagers take a little bit longer to ferment and stuff. So a lot of times these breweries don't necessarily tackle lagers, especially smaller ones, because they want to lose that extra time in the tank. You know, the sooner they can get in within like an ale. But yeah, they were, you know, they're another one just doing the whole curbside pickup and all that. They also have some limited, you know, packaging, in a couple of the stores around here, like a couple of the festival liquor stores at the Festival Foods, you know, through in the area here. So
they have a few different ways to get into the retail outlet areas that have been open. You know, talk to us about that production line when the beer, like ales you mentioned, the timing has to be just right.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of craft breweries, I mean, there's a couple different reasons whether you go ale or lager. So some of it has to do with flavor and what ales do compared to what lagers do. But, yeah, typically it takes a little bit less time for an ale to finish. And then, you know, when you're a smaller brewery like this, you don't have a lot of fermenter tanks where you can have, you know, extra stuff laying in. You know, you've got a couple of tanks and you want to be able to get those free and be able to keep going. Well, obviously with the slowdown now, a lot of the breweries haven't, you know, small, and I'm talking like the smaller brereries, haven't had that crunch that they would have normally had and been able to do. In fact, Anapi Brewery up in Algoma is moving into a new facility over the course of all this. So they were, that was one thing that kind of, if there was any really horrible silver lining to this for them, they were able to, it was a little bit not such a crunch or such a worry to take their brewing equipment and move it to their new place.
To move it, right. Well, take us to Bull Falls Brewery in Wausau, which recently reopened its tap room. It's family owned. What is their story like?
Yeah, it's just it's the story of a lot of breweries. You know, the owner started doing home brewing and just kind of grew out of that into his brewery now. They like to, you know, stick to a lot of, play into the whole German heritage a lot of, you know, trying to do that. You'll see some of those types of beers with them. And, you know, it's just a little, you know, they're one that's kind of, they do some canning, but also,
Do we know what measures they're taking to keep customers safe when they come in?
I think it's going to be different at all the different places and how long they stay, do that as well. Like, over at Zimbaldi and, you know, these really, you know, you said they're taking the, they took the WDC, you know, reopen guidelines and did, you know, use that to help them make those decisions. You know, a lot of what you're going to see is, you know, for sure, I'm thinking a lot of places are going to be conscientious about the spacing and everything.
Sure, keeping people apart.
About keeping the spacing, and then from there, kind of, and then the hand sanitizers, you know, everybody you talk to has been, you know, hand sanitizer stations.
We have Dan Higgins, food and drink reporter for USA Today Network. Shout out to Noble Roots in Green Bay with a 7-barrel system. There's Courthouse Pub in Manitowoc. Let's hear from you, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. We're saluting our local brewers on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The spread of COVID-19 has upended the craft brewing industry. One market analyst estimates about a third of the more than 8,200 craft brewers in existence last year could go out of business or experience a major change in their operations, like closing a tap room or turning exclusively to retail for their only source of revenue. How is your favorite craft brewer doing? Brewers, what does your future hold for your operation? Join in 800-642-1234. Food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, Dan Higgins, stays with us. Now let's bring in Grant Pauley, who is founder and brewmaster of Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan. Grant, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Well, take us back before the pandemic hit and tell us what your business was like and where most of your sales were in.
Sure. We were so excited about 2020. You know, for those who don't know, we're still a relatively new brewery. We've been around for 8 years. And 3 years ago, we purchased an old Coca-Cola facility and really upgraded everything. And really, we're gearing up for, you know, becoming a large craft brewery. And this was going to be the year where we were on track to do that. For us, our sales are split, when it comes to distribution, half in cans and bottles and half in draft, so kegs for bars and restaurants. So, the 2 weeks before everything went down and kind of everyone was a little thunderstruck, we ostensibly cut our sales in half. Taproom going away was a big hurt, especially because we were supposed to celebrate our anniversary party at the end of April, which is a big day for us. You know, we love getting to bring thousands of people to Sheboygan. But it's also a day where we sell these, $20 bottles of barrel aged beer. And those bottles go towards equipment that we very much need and we kind of bank on every year having. So it was a big hit, and something we're still trying to navigate through and figure out what's the new normal and where are we going to go from here and what do we need?
What does that new normal look like today?
Today is, we're still trying to figure it out because with the markets opening up a little bit more and bars and restaurants beginning to open slowly, you know, the one thing we know is grocery is up everywhere, which has been extremely helpful for us. We have some great partnerships with, most independent liquor stores throughout Wisconsin. A lot of the grocery stores, whether it be the Festivals, Meijer, Piggly Wiggly's, we've started relations with Walmarts and things like that. So that has helped us out. It did not replace losing half of our keg volume because it's so significant, but it allowed us to keep our crew going, which was, the number one goal of, making sure that we keep our team working and, feeling secure in their jobs. There's enough other things to worry about right now.
Have you been able to do that?
We have. We had the first 2 weeks where we didn't know what was going on. We just took everyone to 35-hour weeks just to be on the safe side to make sure we didn't have to do more extreme things later. And then we had to lay off a couple of our full-time bartending staffs for a couple weeks. But after about a couple weeks and we got our curbside going and our, to-go business for the tap room, at the brewery kind of leveled out, we were able to bring everyone back. So thankfully, we really did not have layoffs more than a couple people for a couple weeks. And after that, we've been keeping everyone employed. So that was goal number one for us. And now we're just trying to figure out when we might actually be able to make a profit again.
Yeah.
And I think, we kind of all agree it's going to hopefully be 2021, but we'll see. We'll see.
Dan, is Grant's story similar to what you're hearing from other brewers that you've talked to in Wisconsin?
It's a little bit different. I mean, Grant has a very good wide distribution throughout the state compared to, a lot of other places might be more regional or, and then you've got some other places that really are just truly taproom dependent, Barrel 41, Lion's Tail. I'm just going through the valley here, a lot of these places, or even like a Fifth Ward. So they don't necessarily have as much to fall back on in the retail section. So it becomes a little bit more difficult for them. I think that's where you see some of these drive-throughs kind of happening with breweries, like in the Fox Cities and Green Bay, where they have a one-day event. People can come out and pick up as much beer from all the different breweries in the area at one stop. So, and the other thing is, too, when you get a brewery that's really dependent on draft sales, and now they got to go, going to cans and bottles. Well, putting that into packaging costs more than putting it into a keg. So, you know, it's not as healthy, or it's, a little bit more costly to do it that way. So that kind of cuts in the profits as well. I think they're just fighting to get by.
Dan Higgins there, food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. We also have Grant Pauly on the line, founder and brewmaster of Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan. And you can join in. What clever ways have you seen breweries try to reach patrons during the pandemic? Do you currently work at a brewery? What is that like? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Grant, some call you a destination brewery with your beer garden in the summer months and games like bocce ball. What do you see for that part of your business?
We are anticipating that with Wisconsin being open, especially with a state surrounding being closed, that people are going to continue to travel. And I know the hotels in our area are fairly booked this weekend already, with it being Memorial weekend. So we're really trying to gear up our tap room to be a safe environment as we can, knowing that we are, while Sheboygan has we're still in the very low end of cases, and our region as a whole is. We're going to continue, we think, to bring people from Chicago, from Minnesota, from other parts of the country. So when it comes to our tap room, our first goal is to, make sure that we are following every rule we possibly can on social distancing, keeping it a really clean transaction, minimizing contact, and keeping a lot of space. Thankfully, we do have a huge beer garden outside on patio, so we're looking to utilize that and set up, pods more or less, so people know that, they can go to an area, they're going to have some distance, people won't have to be walking right by them to come into the bar. We're trying to create good lanes of traffic, and for that reason, we're still closed because we're still in construction mode trying to set this all up.
And that takes money, too, to be able to reconfigure.
It does. Thankfully, we're a very handy bunch. but most of it we can do ourselves. We've pretty much built our tap room. During the wintertime, one of our things we're passionate about is not having layoffs. Unfortunately, people drink less beer in the winter than they do in the summer. So our crew doesn't always have work. So we typically become a construction company 2 days a week in the winter. And that's when our additions to the tap room happen. So that's what we're trying to fit in right now is, just making these aisles, making these lanes, coming up with kind of best practices that we can, get into. And then we really assume these will be around for quite a while. So we want to make sure we get it right to begin with. And then we can always lax up if that, that time comes.
Grant, any beers that you can get us excited about in the coming summer months?
Sure. Well, one thing we have really leaned into lately, because a lot of our focus has always been on these big barrel-aged beers, high ABV things. And, we're finding right now with people, being mainly stuck at home, they're looking for something to drink in the afternoon and, not get themselves into too much trouble drinking. A little lower in alcohol. So we've been playing around with a lot of slushy beers. It's something that, I know several other breweries in Wisconsin, the Lion's Tail, as I mentioned, being one, and Eagle Park and a few others have done so as well, but slushy beer is where you have, beer and then a lot of fruit puree mixed together, and it has the consistency of a slushy. And they are extremely fruity. You can go any direction you want. You can have them tart, sweet, kind of creamy, vanilla-y.
Dan, have you tried a slushy beer?
I have. I've had Lion's Tail. I actually did one. I think they do a collab with Eagle Park, maybe? No, actually Badger State. I think them and Badger State did one.
It was Badger State, yeah.
Yep. I had that. It's a fun little beer to have, and especially once weather gets warmer, that would be, I can see those really starting to populate and kind of take off at more and more breweries as they get a feel for how to brew that one.
Yeah, is that tricky at all, Grant?
It is. Well, one thing with slushy beers being shelf stable is difficult because you're adding so many sugars, and when you have yeast in a product with sugar, it wants to keep eating that, and you could have a chance of cans not quite lasting very long and exploding. So we have to actually add a process that we don't do for beer is we pasteurize our slushy beers before packaging into kegs, just so that doesn't happen. So they're shelf stable. You can drink them. If you leave them in your trunk by accident, you're fine. But it was a new process for us because we've historically, never pasteurized our our beers. And you know, one of the other things I'm loving right now is one of the benefits of this is with us being slower, it really forced us to get a little more experimental and have some time for R&D. So
research and development.
Yeah, the big thing for us is, you know, we've been putting out one or two new beers a week in our tap room, a small scale. You know, for us, normally we'll make 180 half barrels in a batch. You know, now we're making 3 half barrels in a batch. So it's really changed our scale because our customer demographic has shifted so much and the geography has just shrunk. But it's let us kind of push some more boundaries that we hadn't before. And I don't know, we'll be a better company for that on that end. And we're going to make sure we can keep doing that this summer. So,
oh, Grant,
it's just new.
All the best to you. Thank you for joining us, Grant.
You bet. Thanks for having me. Enjoy your day.
You too. Grant Pauly, founder and brewmaster of Three Sheeps Brewing in Sheboygan. You can find a link to their website at WPR.org/mornings. Dan Higgins stays with us, food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. A shout out to Oso Brewing Company in Plover. And there's Stevens Point Brewery, founded in 1857, one of the oldest continuously operating breweries in our country. Earth Rider Brewery in Superior, we're thinking of you. Our show toured your facility a little over a year ago when we were broadcasting from Superior. Give a shout out to your local brewer, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being with us. With our state's rich brewing history, we're going around Wisconsin checking in on how craft brewers are doing. Industry analysts say craft brewers are exposed. The majority of them are small, produce 1,000 barrels or less a day, generally don't have a lot of cash on hand, often have higher debt levels because of the brewing equipment they have to purchase. Are you a brewer struggling to keep your operation afloat in the pandemic? Share your experience with us, 800-642-1234. Give a shout out to your favorite local brewer. Dan Higgins is a food and drink reporter. He's based in Neenah, and he stays with us. So, Dan, let's look at some of those seasonal beers that are always fun to look forward to, especially in the summer months. I particularly love the Kolsch-style beers, and there's one out in New Glarus that are is that right?
Yep, Kid Kolsch. It's I think that came out last year. So I think that's a good example of the type of beer that I think is really popular this time of year. It's fairly light. It's you know, what Grant was talking about, you know, reasonable amounts of ABV. You know, it's one of those beers you can kind of sit back and enjoy. So I think that's I think those are the beers that I think people really look forward to this time of year.
Really versatile too, and they kind of you know, certainly refreshing and just a nice lighter taste to them. Yeah, one barrel has the Commuter, which I'm totally into. That's a really good one. Have you tried it?
Yes. Yep. I've had that. Now you're really putting me on the spot. I'm trying to think. I think that's a year-round one for them, but it is that is definitely another one of those beers that I think really probably becomes popular this time of year as well. So, that's one of their year-round beers. And
let's move on to Door County, where there's Door County Cherry Wheat. What do we know about Hinterland in Green Bay?
I think they're about that beer or about the brewery itself.
Well, both. If you've talked to the brewery and you know what the beer is like.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since I talked to Bill kind of at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when everybody was trying to scramble and figure out what was going on, but you know, through it all, they eventually not only did they. Well, they've got a restaurant attached too, so it's a little bit different. You know, they've got a restaurant plus they've got the brewery, and I think you know eventually when they started, they weren't doing any sort of curbside. I think eventually they started to work their way into doing that more. They haven't opened as far as I can see. Tell they haven't opened a tap room yet, or necessarily the restaurant for dine in. The Door County Cherry Wheat's another one of those beers. It's got this nice little bit of tart cherry taste to it. They use a wheat beer, which is a very nice, you know, another fits that style of, you know, light flavorful, but it's really kind of a nice little fruit flavor in there without being sweet. So if you want that, you know, if you don't like too much sweetness, but like a little bit of fruit flavor, that's a beer that I think could be really popular this time of year too.
I was scrolling through the number of craft brewers here in Wisconsin. Have you talked to any who think that they may go under? They may not make it.
No one has said that to me. You know, it's always hard to
predict.
Hard to know how
yeah.
close necessarily they are to it without them, you know, popping open their books and showing me what's going on. But
I just love their names, like Mobcraft and Milwaukee Makes Oddball.
Yep. That's another Kolsch. That's a really good, great.
Oh, I mean, I have to try that one.
That's a year-round one for them. But I mean, that's another beer that just perfectly fits into the season. So,
Killer Bees Jalapeno Ale.
Yeah, that was one. Okay, Stoic Brewing up in Green Bay there for a while when the tap room was open, they would take their blonde ale and they would run it through what's called a hop rocket in the tap room, and that's a little cylinder, I guess. You could put some extra hops in there and the beer runs through and it picks up a little extra hop characteristic if you want without at some point decided, oh, let's put some jalapenos in there and see what happens, and you get this really spicy beer.
Yeah, think?
And it would come out, you know, every so often you just put a little bit on, and it was, you know, this kind of special, kind of cool little thing that would come out, and now he's got it into some cans right now, for a little bit of fun. I'm going to warn you, it's, you know, obviously a little bit spicier. It's kind of it's a fun beer to have once. It's not, I don't know that anybody's going to sit down and go through four, so it might be one of those, pick up a four pack and it's going to be have one here and there. It's not necessarily.
Yeah.
You want to sit down and plan on.
Maybe an acquired taste. How about we put it that way?
it comes down to your heat level and how much you like jalapenos and all that.
Yeah. What's coming out of Milwaukee Brewing these days?
The seasonal that comes back for them this time of year is Weekend at Louie's, which is kind of a blueberry and tea beer infusion into, or adjuncts, I guess it would be called, to their Louie's Demise, which is an amber ale, which is their flagship, but kind of was a beer. That was super popular. They used that Louis for a lot of different, you know, they have a resurrection one that's barrel aged. So in this case, they add blueberries and some tea infusion into that for the summer as well. So that seems to be super popular. I know blueberries can be kind of, always kind of like, I'm not sure how that's really going to work. But
another acquired taste.
generally, breweries that do it seem to do it pretty well. Fox River Brewing's got their Blue Bobber, which is pretty much their, a couple of years ago, was kind of their best-selling beer, and that's, you know, got this blueberry flavor to it. Stone Arch in Appleton does a blueberry version one, too, where it's just, you get this kind of blueberry flavor. It kind of goes back to kind of like the cherry wheat when I was talking about that. I think when those are done right, it's not super sweet. It's not, you know, like you just poured some blueberry syrup in there or something. It's got the blueberry flavor that without it being overly sweet, and they find that balance.
I wonder, you know, after the pandemic, we're going to see a lot of new wacky flavors come out because these brewers have a bit more time on their hands to experiment.
Yeah, actually, I was talking with Andrew at Badger State, and I asked him about that because they do a lot of what they like to do is they have kind of a pilot series that they call, and it's smaller batches, and a lot of times they'll do something kind of wacky and put it on tap in their tap room and kind of use that to kind of judge, you know, where's this going? And do we think this is something that could take the next step, become seasonal or canned or whatever? And he said actually with the shutdown, yeah, had a little bit more time to do some stuff. They did some, they did a slushy beer as well in that time, and were able, instead of having it go on tap, you know, they did smaller batches and put them in crawlers, which are big cans, the 32-ounce cans, And not only did they have it in their tap room for carry out, but they were able to get it into a couple of local liquor stores as well.
Dan Higgins is with us. He covers food and drinks for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Neenah. He's been looking at how craft breweries are faring during the pandemic and checking in with them. How are you enjoying a drink with your friends these days? Do you do it virtually, sitting 6 feet apart in your backyard? Maybe you have some Zoom meetings with your friends and do a little happy hour that way. What's your favorite beer for the summer? Are you into slushy beers? Join in now. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's, Dan, move back into Green Bay for Titletown. They've got the 400 Honey Ale. What do you think of that beer?
That's another just light kind of easy drinking beer. That was a super popular taproom only beer for a lot of years. And it took, I don't have the technical details, but I guess it took them a while to figure out how to, with the amount of honey that they've got, they use the beer and the way they do it, it took them a while to figure out how to make that work with bottling. So that's actually within the last year or two, maybe, that they came out bottles. Within the last year, I'm pretty sure. I think it was maybe late last year about this time. So, again, you see honey in a honey ale, and it's a lighter beer. So that's another one that I think people want to take a look at if you're looking for that kind of lighter drinking beer experience.
Well, Ale Asylum in Madison has a beer that involves the name COVID, and the beer's name we cannot say on the air, otherwise we would get in trouble. So is this a beer that you are looking forward to watching Ale Asylum and what they're making?
Well, they're always interesting, too, because they always come up with, you know, they're always willing to kind of push and do something wacky. So actually, they came up with two versions of it. One's the Pilsner, and they also have a pale ale version of that. I haven't gotten around to trying either of those yet. But, you know, if there's, I think the word ahead of COVID is pretty much sums up, I think, how we all feel about it by this point.
Well, let's move on to a darker beer. You've got your eyes on the Bourbon Pecan Kringle Stout. It sounds like dessert.
Yes, it is. It's exactly what it sounds like. And I know it, as I've gone on and on about light beers and fruity beers, and Graham was mentioning that too, and this one fits solidly in that high ABV dark beer. But there's a time and place for that too, especially with some ice cream. A lot of times I like to take a stout or a dark beer, but anyway, I'll just wrap up the Central Waters. That just released within the last week or so. I think right now it's at sale at their tap room and working its way out to the markets.
So that's Central Waters Brewing. Amherst,
yeah.
Right. Dan Higgins, our guide to craft brewers, are checking in on them around the state. A shout out to 22 Lakes Brewing in Wapaka, Ale Asylum in Madison, and Angry Minnow in Hayward. There's Barley John's in Richmond, too. Still time to join in with your favorite brewers. How are they doing? How are you doing? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a minute with Dan Higgins. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're saluting our craft brewers who are maneuvering through this, doing things out of the box amid the pandemic. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Shout out to Lion's Tail in Neenah with its locally sourced ingredients from hops to yeast. Raven's Breath in Iron River. Love your name. There's Courthouse Pub in Manitowoc, preserving history, making beer. Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee. Hello. What clever ways have you seen breweries try to reach patrons during the pandemic? Join in with your questions about craft brewers, how you enjoy local beer heading into summer, 800-642-1234. Dan Higgins stays with us. He's food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. So, Dan, have you seen any happy hours going virtual? Have you seen brewers hosting any type of things as people are social distancing like this?
You know, I've seen breweries, some here and there, you know, take advantage, you know, put some videos up, do a little talks about beers, that kind of thing. Most successful, obviously, they're not a craft brewery, but Lightning Cools is doing it. They do one pretty regularly as well. So a little bit. It hasn't been as nothing hugely jumping out today.
Yeah. There's Blue Bobber from Fox River Brewing in Oshkosh. What is going on with that beer?
Yeah, that's that was a one. Yeah, I was kind of talking about that with the blueberries and the fruit going in. Yeah.
That was the blueberry. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really an interesting little beer that I remember first time I tried it, I was kind of a little skeptical. It's pretty good. It's again, acquired taste. I think it depends on because you wouldn't think blueberries and beer together, but they do a nice job of balancing out the flavors and keeping it from being a little too sweet.
Is there anything we should be trying these days? Anything you'd like for us to venture into? I know we've been talking about slushy beers, but what else?
I think this is where you don't listen to anybody else and you just drink the kind of beers you like. I think we're at that point. One style I'm really glad to see more breweries getting into. Also got a shout out, but they just released a beer they're calling like literally beer. That's what it says on the label, and it's a lager. And there was kind of a video post of the owner there talking through that beer as well. And it's just basic beer that's one I'm kind of looking for.
Well, it's like the beta name. Like, we couldn't come up with a name, so we'll just put the beer there.
No, I mean, and the design of the can looks very much, it has that feel of like generic whatever. And so it's, you know, it's a lager, and I think it's getting back to, you know, when craft brewing first took off, you know, the idea was to distance yourself as much as you could from the lagers, because that's what the big domestics, you know, would do. That's it. They did lagers, and then pretty much it was your only choice for beer. So I think they did everything to be every type of beer except that. And I think there's been enough separation now with craft brewing. I think people get it that I think the breweries are starting to feel like, yeah, let's go back, let's do some lagers, and maybe they've gotten a point, too, where they can afford that little extra time in the tanks to get those beers done.
Well, as these tap rooms open up, as these breweries open back up with their restaurants and their retail, what should customers and patrons think about before they visit their favorite brewery?
Well, first of all, obviously you're going to need to know it yourself, and if you're comfortable enough going out and how you feel. Like if obviously going out makes you feel anxious at this point, you know, obviously you don't want to push her and do that. And I think the big thing is, you know, be patient, give each other space, respect. You know, I think some places are going to try and, you know, I think there's kind of a little bit of a social agreement that's going to happen. You know, I think it's the brewery is going to put in place what they, you know, do everything they can to make you feel safe. But at the same time, you know, they need you not to be crowding up on other people and being respectful of whatever rules they put in place. I know at Zambaldi they're asking guests to wear a mask if they're moving about. You know, when you're sitting and enjoying your beer, obviously you don't have to wear it, but if you're going to get up and move around, you know, don't.
Put that mask back on, yeah.
Put the mask back on. You know, when you go to order the beer, don't crowd up, you know, on people. And yeah. So, it's, you know, on their end, they put up some plexiglass. They've got one person who is going to be designated to doing nothing but wiping down and sanitizing high touch areas like doorknobs and then going around and sanitizing the chairs. And
yeah, it's a new time. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me on. It was great.
Dan Higgins, food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Steve Gotcher with a story about a self-employed dog trainer and how the pandemic has affected his way of life.
It's been a few months since people have had to make changes in their lives because of COVID-19. Some get to work from home, and some folks still have to go to a workplace using extra caution, and still others lost their jobs when the businesses they worked at closed. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, George Malara filled his work days with dogs.
I drive around in my old Honda Odyssey, and I pick up dogs all over Madison, and we end up on my property, and we run and play with the dogs in a fenced-in area.
Malara owns Divine Canine Dog Training and Wanna Go Outside Playgroup Service. We talked at his private play area while his new pup, Dolly, his other dog, Suka, and my dog, Sasha, played in the yard.
Since the pandemic hit, I felt it more responsible to not go into my clients' homes because not only do I have clients that are doctors and pediatricians and doctors that work in the ER, but I also have clients that are a little bit older that could be more so compromised because of the virus. So I felt it responsible to sort of cut back on that and stop my playgroup service so that I could help flatten the curve and do my part.
Come here, Dolly.
After canceling my playgroup service due to the pandemic, that was essentially 85% of my income. You know, the playgroup is my bread and butter, and I would train dogs and do classes in the evenings Monday through Friday. The difficult part of this is, for me, the withdrawal from the dogs. These dogs are absolutely a part of my life, and I call them my babies, I call them my buddies, I call them, you know, I develop a bond and I work with them daily. And to go cold turkey like that has been incredibly difficult, emotionally. It's what I've been doing for 20 years. I don't know what to do with myself. I have all the work I'm doing. I'm shooting videos and adapting with my training business to offer more stuff virtually. But the playgroup is what I really miss the most.
Very good girls. Very good girls.
Originally, I went to college to become a CBT, a certified behavioral therapist, working with children. And my college funds ran out, and I was unable to continue going to school. My roommate and I adopted a dog named CJ, and he had some behavioral issues. And I took what I learned in the little bit of college that I went to and applied it to my dog, and it worked. I'm what you call a crossover trainer. So when I first started training dogs, I used some aversive techniques. I would like pop a leash if the dog was doing something wrong, or I would verbally reprimand. But as I evolved as a trainer, my techniques got sweeter and more scientific. I started using carrots instead of the whip. I think what I really love is seeing how happy the dogs are socializing. My favorite thing to watch is just all the little behaviors that they do, the communication that they have. I often say, like, I'm Jane Goodall. Like, I just get to watch these behaviors during playgroup and all the subtleties that they are able to express in these little tiny minute movements in their bodies.
Now that many of us are spending more time at home, we have an opportunity to focus on our pets. So where's a good place for us to start?
Oh, lots of training. There's so many things you can do and teach your dogs. You know, you can go on YouTube and just type in positive reinforcement training, or another technique that I love is shaping. You know, shaping games with your dogs. Just play with your dog. People think training means obedience, and that's not really the case. Training your dog could be anything. It could be something silly like a trick, or something complex like a freestyle, which is a dance routine with your dog.
Besides trying to figure out ways to stay in touch with his clients and help them work with their dogs, Malara is working on finding his way in this time of seclusion.
I'm taking this isolation in stride, and I'm learning a lot about myself in terms of being alone and just being patient with myself and just being with my emotions as they come. Sometimes I feel great, and sometimes I feel down. You know, it's like, I love that saying, it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to not be productive. When the stay-at-home effort is here, it's to keep everybody safe. Nobody's being punished here. Nobody's in trouble. But if we continue to go out, and this is going to keep going unless we take care of it. And it's we, not me. We all have our part.
Oh, if you don't know how to do it, I would show you how to walk the dog.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin, in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Share what is happening in your part of the state. We'll see if we can make it for a program. You can have it, send it to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.